This morning, we do want to look to the ancient words of Scripture and glean its wisdom for our walk in this world. And I want to ask you to bow with me as we begin our time of meditation on the Scriptures today. Our Father, we come before you today, and during this time of worship, we desire to glorify you, to honor you. We desire now at this time to learn from your ancient truths, from your eternal words that you have given to us through your apostles, through your prophets. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive, our minds to understand the truths that you have for us today. Lord, bless everyone who has come to hear your words, and I pray, Lord, that you implant them deep in their hearts. And Lord, change us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I do want to recognize our mothers who are here, and we want to honor them because that is biblical, isn't it? One of the great commands that our God gave us, enshrined in the tablets of stone, was that we honor our fathers and our mothers, to give them the honor that they are due. And what I want to do briefly this morning is I want to speak about God's design for motherhood from the Scriptures. God's design for motherhood. And this is not drawn from one passage of Scripture, but from several verses throughout the Bible. And what I'm going to say this morning is probably not exhaustive. There are probably more very important truths about the topic of motherhood that we could draw from the Scriptures. But I have six that I would like to share with you this morning briefly. First of all, we learn in the Scriptures that God ordained that motherhood would be essential to fulfilling his purposes for creation and for the propagation of the human race. I mean, that would seem obvious, but it's helpful sometimes to stop and think about how God has designed things. God has designed, God has built into the very order of this world that motherhood would be the means, an essential means at least, for the propagation of the human race. In fact, we learn about this in Scripture in the opening words of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, where it says that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I just want to pause there for a moment and reflect on the fact that gender is built into our humanity by God. I just want to say that one more time. Gender is built into our humanity by God. He is our creator. He is our designer. He is the one who owns this creation because he made it. And our society is on the verge of collapse, I believe, because we are throwing out the very foundation, the very framework on which all of recorded human civilization is built. And that is that men and women are created by God. They're created by God differently. The genders are different. He has made them different. He has made them to be complementary, to go together to create a family for the purpose of bringing up families and children who honor and worship the Lord our God. And when we, in our own attempt to be gods, say, no, we can just decide whatever we want and we can throw out these ancient structures of the human race and we can throw away what God has designed and built into the very framework of creation, when we throw those out, it's to our own peril. But this is the fruit of a culture who has denied the authority of God, who has denied the existence of God, who has said God is dead. But God built male and female into the created order. And God blessed them, the man and the woman, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Sometimes theologians refer to this as the creation mandate. That is, this is a mandate from our God, our Creator, and it's given to the entire human race. It's given to our first representatives, Adam and Eve in the garden, and that mandate is passed on down to their children and their grandchildren and to the whole human race. And that is that we, as human beings made in the image of God, would rule over this world on behalf of God and for His glory. And a part of that rule is multiplying and being fruitful and filling the earth with His image bearers for His glory. One of the purposes that God made us as human beings. In Genesis 3, verse 20, we read that Adam named his wife Eve, and he gives the reason, because she would become the mother of all the living. Eve is the first mother of the world, and through her, humanity went forward. This is God's design. And so when a woman in the design of God, in God's sovereign providential purposes, and I say that because it's not necessarily God's providential purpose that every woman become a mother. Not every woman gets married. Not every woman becomes a mother. But for those who in God's providential purposes become a mother, take it as a role from God, as a noble role from God, that you help carry on this original creation mandate to bring into the world image bearers of God who would give Him honor and glory. It's designed by our Creator. Number two, and this is astounding when you think about it, that God ordained that His means of salvation for sinners would come through motherhood. God ordained that His means of salvation for sinners would come through motherhood. We read in Genesis that this original couple, Adam and Eve, soon fell. They soon disobeyed God, and they brought guilt and shame upon themselves, and so brought in the need for humanity to be reconciled to their Creator. We as sinful, fallen human beings can't reconcile ourselves. It's beyond our power. It's beyond our capacity. We need God's grace to reconcile us to Himself. And God, from eternity past, designed that He would send a Redeemer into the world to save us, to die on behalf of us for our sins, that we might be reconciled to God. And you know the means that God chose to bring that Deliverer into the world? Through motherhood. That was the means He chose. And He reveals it in the opening pages of Scripture in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you. He's talking to the serpent there, the devil. I want to put enmity, hostility between you, serpent, and the woman. And between your offspring and hers. Offspring. The carrying forward of the human race. He will crush your head. Who's the he? It's not named in Genesis 3:15. But there is some unnamed, singular, individual offspring of the woman that is referred to in Genesis 3:15. And that singular offspring, descendant of the woman, would crush the head of the devil. Who is that? We have to read through the rest of Scripture to find out how this unfolds, don't we? It's Jesus Christ. He is the one who came into the world. He's the one who, on His death on the cross, crushed the head of the serpent by His heel being bruised on the cross. And so I think Paul may even be referring back to this in Galatians 4:4-5, when he says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship." What was God's method for bringing His Savior into the world? It's through the virgin birth. Isaiah prophesied it. Matthew records its fulfillment. Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary. And as Paul says, He was born of a woman, born under the law. Why? So that He might redeem us who are cursed and reconcile us to God. So God ordained that the means of salvation would come through this role. God ordained, honored role of motherhood. Number three, God ordained that godly motherhood is crucial to the spiritual well-being of the family. God ordained that godly spiritual motherhood is crucial to the spiritual well-being of the family. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So both fathers and mothers play a crucial role in the development of the wisdom and instruction and the spiritual development of children. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, "A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother." Children are to be disciplined, taught, nurtured. And much of that teaching and nurture and discipline comes through the gift of motherhood. Listen to Proverbs 31, verse 1. "The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance that his mother taught him." Think about that for a second. We have a large portion of Scripture, proverbial wisdom, inspired in ancient Scripture, that was taught to him by his mother. That's the importance of godly, motherly instruction. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. He says to Timothy, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that now lives in you also." In other words, Timothy's spiritual development, his faith, can be traced through the lineage of his mother and his grandmother, who are God-fearing, believing women. So God ordained that godly motherhood is crucial to the spiritual well-being of the family. Number four, God ordained that mothers are to be loved by their husbands with a self-sacrificing love. God ordained that mothers are to be loved by their husbands with a self-sacrificing love. Ephesians 5 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." The pattern held up for husbands and fathers is to love their wives. And the model, the example given, is that of Christ. Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the church, gave himself up to the death of the cross. That is the kind of self-sacrifice that husbands and fathers are to have for their wives. God ordained that mothers are to be loved, to be honored by their husbands and their families with a self-sacrificing love. Let me just pause here for a moment since we're on this point. A man who gets a woman pregnant and then walks away has no love whatsoever for that woman. None. What kind of a man would say, "I want the enjoyment, I want the pleasure, I want the happiness, but I do not want the responsibility"? That's not a man. No commitment, no loyalty, no faithfulness. All it is a self-interested, pleasure-seeking individual looking out for himself. God ordained that mothers are to be loved and cherished by their husbands in a self-sacrificing love. Not only is it not loving when someone gets a woman pregnant and then walks away, but it's also not loving when a man divorces his wife and leaves her to be a single mother. That's not loving either. And just sending a check does not make up for the loss of a father in that family. Mothers are to be loved by their husbands with a self-sacrificing love. Number five, God ordained that mothers are to be honored and obeyed by their children. God ordained that mothers are to be honored and obeyed by their children. Deuteronomy 5, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you." You want God's blessing on your life, this passage is saying? Then be sure that you honor and respect and obey your parents, including your mother. And by the way, that honor is not just for when you're young and when you're a little child, but throughout your life, because Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Honor your father and your mother throughout their lives. Even when you leave home and your roles change, they still deserve lifelong honor. Paul repeats that command in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and honor your father and mother, because this is the first commandment with a promise. God ordained that children honor and obey their mothers. And so young people, if you're here, don't check out. These sermons are for you too. Bible teaching is not just for adults. Bible teaching is for all ages. And so children, honor your fathers and your mothers and pay them the respect that they're due. Number 6, last point. God ordained that he, God, would receive glory through motherhood, and especially through godly Christian mothers who love and faithfully serve their families for the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When a mother loves God, when a mother lets her light shine before her family, before her community, before the world, she brings honor and glory to God. God is honored and glorified by godly Christian mothers who fulfill their roles as Christians, as wives, as mothers. And I just want to conclude with a thought on our current culture, because I believe in our current culture, there is an intense attack right now on the very role of motherhood itself. I just want to give you some examples of things that we see going on in our culture. One, there is the demeaning of motherhood, and especially full-time motherhood, in our culture. If you're a woman who wants to give your life to raising your children and not pursue a career, you're looked down upon in our society. That's not biblical at all. Now, for various reasons, you might need two incomes in a home. And I'm not saying that in every circumstance that that's against God's will. But what I'm saying is that to dishonor motherhood and to dishonor full-time motherhood is unbiblical. And there's nothing servile or demeaning about giving your life to the service of others and bringing them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. What did Jesus himself say? The greatest among you will be your servant. And Jesus gave the perfect example. Another example in our culture is abortion. It's one of the greatest threats to motherhood in human history. Not only are we killing human beings, but we're also telling mothers that we're destroying the very fabric of the natural love of a mother for a child. The rise of homosexuality and transgenderism is also destroying motherhood. Media and entertainment makes fun of motherhood, full-time motherhood. We see the rise of divorce, the rise of single mothers, the rise of deadbeat dads who don't take care of their families. Our culture is disintegrating, largely because the home and the family is disintegrating. And we're not giving the home, fatherhood and motherhood, the honor and the importance that it deserves. And future generations will reap the fruit of that failure. So what's my encouragement today? My encouragement today is twofold. One, if you're a mother here today, then we want you to know that we honor you and that your role is a God-given role. And because it's a God-given role, it is worthy of respect, it's worthy of honor, and it fulfills many purposes that God has designed in his word. If you're not a mother here today, maybe you're still single. Maybe you're married but have not been able to have children. Maybe you're a man, which means you're not a mother. We have mothers around us that we can honor, that we can thank, that we can, not just one day a year, right? Deuteronomy 6 doesn't say honor your father and mother on one day a year. But throughout our lives, we can give our mothers honor. We can give them the due that they're worthy of by their position of authority ordained by God. Many of us have lost mothers. They've gone on before us, and we miss them. But we still have other mothers among us that we can honor. Paul talks about in the scriptures to Timothy and to Titus, he says, treat those older women in the church that you have, treat them as mothers and honor them as mothers. And so even if we don't have a physical mother with us, maybe has already passed away, who's already gone on, we can still give honor to the godly women of our church who have been an influence in our lives, and we can honor them. My encouragement is that we would lift up as the church, let us lift up, let us give honor to where honor is due. And honor is due to the role of motherhood because God has designed it such. So do not let the world and its voices and its philosophies pull you away from God-ordained truth that He has revealed. May God be praised in our homes, in our families, in our churches, in our communities. Everybody will tell you, everybody in elected office, everybody will tell you that when the family is strong, the community is strong, the state is strong, the nation is strong, we need strong families in the church, in the community, in our nation. So let's pray for them, let's honor them, and let's strive to give God the honor that He is due. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Father, today, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the gift of our mothers that You've given to us in our lives, all that they have invested in us. Father, we acknowledge that we are not perfect, that our mothers are not perfect. We acknowledge that we have failed in many areas of our lives. But Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You that in spite of our failures, that You have given us a Redeemer in the person of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And through Him, we can be forgiven and have life. Father, today, I just want to pray for different kinds of mothers and maybe to-be mothers in our congregation. Lord, I just want to pray for those that are expecting mothers. We pray with them. We ask, Lord, that You watch over them. Lord, to those who have lost a child at some point in their lives, maybe through miscarriage, maybe through sometime later in the circumstances of life, Father, we mourn with them and we pray for them today. To those who have not been able to have children because of infertility or various reasons, Father, we pray for them today and we acknowledge their desires and their longing to have children and family. And Lord, we pray that You would bless them with that if it be Your will. And if not, Lord, give them the grace to walk through that and see Your ultimate purpose for their lives. Father, we pray for those who have lost mothers, especially recently. We pray for Your grace and comfort in their lives. Father, we pray that You would bless the mothers in our congregation and ask that You would give them, Lord, the respect, the honor, the help, the love that they deserve from their families and from their church. And Lord, I pray Your blessings on this day and on this body of believers, we pray. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.